broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good day. This is the 42nd Ryder Cup being played in Paris, France. It's the most beautiful golf course. If you ever have a chance to look at NBC today or tonight after 8 o'clock in Hawaii, check it out. It's an amazing golf course. It was 46 degrees this morning in Paris. This Le Golf National is about 19 miles outside of the city. Beautiful weather. Absolutely stellar weather they're having there. As I said, cold this morning. Spectacular golf course, though. I haven't seen roughs this tough. I mean, the grass is so high and so thick in places. And obviously that'll reward accuracy and definitely bridles the long hitters, because if you're outside of the fairway, you're in a whole lot of trouble. And that's what a lot of guys are finding, you know. So you've just got to be very cautious. You've got to be straight and dead on. And wow, the Europeans, of course, play there every year. Their Open is played, the European Tour. They have a major event there on a yearly basis, and they're obviously very comfortable on the golf course because right now they're in the lead and having a fabulous time being in the lead. So we're going to check in first with Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, special to the LPGA and Golf Channel, of course, author of Vision 54 Trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. We'll be talking with him right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futurastone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots. Concrete-colored floors and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And yes, let's welcome into the clubhouse Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor. You can find him at ronsyrak.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, as always, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Is this your 16th? I know this is the 42nd Ryder Cup. How many have you covered?
Well, my first one was 1993.
Wow.
Which is the last time that the Americans won on foreign soil. And it doesn't look very good that it's going to happen this time.
No, things are not shaping up. And we need to, of course, take that apart just a little bit about their performance. But in fact, let's get right to it. What do you make of this Team USA Ryder Cup performance in Paris?
Well, you hit one of the key issues right on the head when you talked about the golf course and the rough. Because the home team gets to set the golf course up, and the Europeans drive the ball a lot straighter than the Americans, and they set the golf course up to reward straight driving.
And they, wow.
Yeah, that said, you know, several Americans, a week ago, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson as captain picks looked like a stroke of genius, and now it's not that clear. Meantime, Tommy Fleetwood is emerging as a real superstar, and he and Francesco Molinari have been unbeatable out there. And that's another strength of the European team. And this happens every year in the Ryder Cup. They get contributions from top to bottom. People you're not thinking of, like Alex Noren, you know, come in and gets a point for you. That's what you need to win. You need those contributions all the way through your lineup.
Absolutely. It was interesting to see Henrik Stenson. Everybody went, oh, the old man, you know, and he came in and sank some really key putts at key moments in this last session that we just watched on NBC. It was truly great to see him. He was very reserved. It's kind of like, I'm going to switch to Tiger Woods, who just won the Tour Championship, 30 guys. I mean, he just worked his way up from, you know, at the bottom of the rankings, 800 or so. I think he was down to 1,000 at one point. Worked his way all the way up into the top 30, working his way into the Tour Championship, playing against the top 30 guys in the world. And he comes out on top, playing brilliant golf. And I'm watching him, and it's like he's out of body. And I don't mean it in a way that you're, you know, playing out of your mind. I mean, like, there's a body. Tiger Woods is walking around the course, but it doesn't look like Tiger Woods is there.
You know, You know, I think that Tiger's a physical and emotional gas tank is pretty much running on empty. He's played, this is his 19th event of the year. He's only played 19 events once in the last 15 years. Hit one stretch in August and September, he played five tournaments in 6 weeks. And then he played last week at the Tour Championship and had a very, very emotional experience there, winning for the first time in 5 years. And I think he just got there, and as much as you try, if the emotional gas tank's empty, you can't refill it, you know. And I think that's part of what happened. If we want to second guess Jim Furyk on one thing, it would probably be on day one sending Phil Mickelson out in alternate shot play. The only event that Mickelson's going to be able to contribute in is best ball. Alternate shot, Phil hits the ball off the planet several times around, you know, and you can't do that in alternate shot. You can do that in best ball because you've got a partner who's also playing his ball. That's probably the biggest mistake Furyk made. But I do think that after losing that first session 3-1, Europe just got really, really motivated and have been playing like madmen.
Brilliantly. For people who don't necessarily know that much about golf, and certainly not match play in these special formats, match play is brilliant because in match play, you can lose a hole, but it really doesn't matter to the overall. You shoot a 9 on a hole. You just lose one hole. It's not like that's 9 strokes against your score. You've just lost a hole. You go on to the next hole. And in match play, technically, a match can go on forever. Just on and on and on and on. It could be, you know, 29 holes, 31 holes until somebody...
I think that's an advantage that the Europeans do have, is that they are more experienced in match play. I'm glad that both the men's and the women's NCAA team championship has gone to match play. It's going to give Americans more experience in that format. But it's a whole different mindset. Match play is very personal. If you're playing stroke play, you're playing against 155 other people in the field. In match play, I'm playing against you. And my partner and I are playing against you and your partner. It's very personal. And your mindset, you have to be strategically aggressive. You gotta know what your opponent's doing, and that affects your decisions. At the same time, you see the Europeans make putts in the Ryder Cup that they don't make in the major championships. Because putting in match play, you have to be aggressive. You have to try to make everything. Because you don't worry about leaving yourself a 5-footer coming back, because a lot of times you don't putt that 5-footer coming back. Yes. You know, the hole's over. So it's a different mindset.
It is totally. And with alternate shot, the one person hits the ball and their partner has to go next from wherever you leave it. So if Phil Mickelson leaves it someplace where his partner would never be, has never had that position, they're at a disadvantage because I don't find myself ever here. I don't know these shots from this location, you know? So it's really tough. And I couldn't agree with you more about Phil. I mean, that could be said about a lot of guys. You know, they just know their game. They know how to recover from their own mistakes. It's been interesting to watch Bryson DeChambeau, because Tiger in the afternoon matches, he actually sank a couple of putts and finally made birdies for the team. And Bryson seems just to be a little bit out of his depth after winning 2 of the FedEx Cup playoff events. He's just not coming to 4 right now.
He might be another guy who is running on empty when it comes to emotion. Look, Tiger got let down by both DeChambeau and Patrick Reed. You know, he didn't get anything from either of them in their matches. And Tiger is the ultimate grinder. He's never going to give up. And even if he's exhausted, he's going to keep fighting. And you know, I had tweeted a week ago that I said, "Gee, I hope Mickelson and DeChambeau get paired in alternate shot play, because you know their round would take 7 hours because they'd have these endless discussions trying to figure out which one of them's the smartest guy in golf, because they both tend to overthink things a little bit." And lo and behold, Furyk did put them together in that format, which was a complete disaster.
Yeah, interesting. What happened with Patrick? I didn't get to see that. I was sleeping.
Well, he just was all over the map. I mean, he really, you know, he was missing putts, he was missing fairways. He just really let Tiger out there alone most of the time. And I don't know what happened with him. You know, he's the guy who lives for the Ryder Cup. He's Captain America.
Exactly.
He's the kind of guy. He's the American's version of Sergio Garcia. That guy who really annoys the other team. You know.
It's always good to have somebody who kind of, digs them. Gives them little jabs, but I mean, and knocks it to them. But our hot players, we had hot players, and our hot players, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. They came through with us, and Justin Thomas was fiery. I mean, he was fun to watch.
They are, I think that we saw a pairing, the two of them, Thomas and Spieth, that we're going to see for about the next 20 years. they're going to be together in a bunch of Ryder Cups down the road. They work very well together. They're good friends. They socialize together off the golf course. They vacation together. They did play. They really stepped up to the occasion and played really well. Spieth's a very, very good putter. And in match play, he's figured it out. He figured out how to become an aggressive putter in match play. Dustin Johnson didn't. Dustin Johnson's leaving putts short all day. And that's the one thing you can't do in match play. You've got to get the ball to the hole, try to make it. But yeah. They're the two stars of the American team. And look, Danielle, the U.S. is down 10-6. It would equal the greatest comeback in the history. I think it's been done once. Americans in '99 at the Country Club, and the U.S. women did it in the Solheim Cup in Germany a couple ago. So it's not impossible. But the fact is, with 10 points, the Europeans need 14 and a half. They only need 4.5 out of 12 points tomorrow to take the cup.
Wow. We're going to get the pairings in the not-too-distant future. The captains haven't come out yet to discuss those pairings. I'm getting messages from Paris. It's interesting. It's such a dynamic when you're there, when you're in it. It's exciting. It's so exciting how things are developed. So in the Saturday afternoon foursomes, we had Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose 2-1 against Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka. You'd never, it's like Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka. They lost to Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose. Henrik, as I said earlier, people were saying, well, he's too old. Why aren't they bringing the new guys in? Then we had, this was interesting to see Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson beat Sergio Garcia and Alex Noren 3-2. And Bubba Watson was kind of a clown going into the interview rooms with a glove, like a blue glove on his hand. And he said his team told him to wear it. And his team said, what? We didn't, it's very strange. Bubba's a bit of a character. But it was great seeing them come together, Watson and Simpson.
Yeah, that was a pairing that surprised me, And in fact, Furyk had a lot of pairings throughout these first 2 days that have surprised me, where I seemed like personalities that were different than each other, and maybe that's what he was trying to do, maybe that's what he was going for. But I expect when you get those pairings out, I'm looking for Europe to front load early. I expect to see Fleetwood and Molinari, who are playing the best, to go out maybe even as the first two players out, because what they want to do is not let the United States get any momentum going, and they want to get out there and end this early if they can, get a couple of points early so that they don't have to sweat out points. Now, what they'll do, they'll play a couple of their best players early, maybe put Molinari, Fleetwood out early, maybe save Rose and McIlroy for the end, and then hide some of your weaker guys in the middle in there somewhere. On the other hand, the Americans are going to have to front load too. You're going to have to see. So we might see a real, like a Spieth, Fleetwood, Justin Thomas, Molinari matchups early on. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool. That would be very interesting because, Molinari and Fleetwood came out on top, of course. Tiger Woods lost all of his matches with Bryson DeChambeau. And then Poulter and McIlroy lost to Thomas and Spieth. McIlroy played very well on the first day and the first morning. These guys, is it weird to play the Ryder Cup right after the Tour Championship? You don't even have time to travel and put yourself together, and then you're practicing, and then you're competing.
Yeah, I think this is the last time we're going to have to deal with that because, the PGA Tour is changing their schedule next year. The whole FedEx Cup is going to end before football season starts. It's going to end the end of August, maybe that first weekend in September. So it's going to be a lot easier for the players, particularly the American players, to come into the next Ryder Cup rested. They're not going to have big events in September the way they have the last few years.
The watching Le Golf National, it's huge. How many people do you think are there? It seems like tens of thousands of people can cover this entire golf course. It's so large.
Yeah, I heard 52,000. 52,000. Yeah, that's pretty large. And it's funny. I was wondering, how, you know, France is not a golf passionate country. And I was wondering how they were going to embrace this event. Now, I assume that, you know, a lot of Brits took the train under the English Channel and came over. And I assume Scandinavians came in and there's an Italian on the team. There's two Spaniards on the team. So there's a lot of the continent well represented. But the crowds have been very, very enthusiastic. There have been, you know, a couple of weird instances where Americans have hit the ball in the water and cheered, which is really not the best etiquette there. But that could be just sort of being inexperienced as a golf fan. But it does seem like, I don't know what percentage of the 52,000 people were there were French, but the people have turned out in massive numbers, and it's created a very great atmosphere. And I think Golf National is a very good match play golf course. It's a risk-reward golf course. A lot of opportunities. Par fives you can go four and two, but you risk hitting the water. A drivable par four, but you risk hitting the water. And a lot of things like that really encourage you to play aggressive golf.
Compared to some of our Ryder Cups that are held on the U.S. soil, I thought the French crowd was being very reserved. Some of it, and they were singing. They were doing this for Molinari. They were doing "When the Moon Hits the Sky Like a Big Pizza Pie." That's Amore, you know. So they were taking all of the different countries and kind of throwing out songs to them. It was a really cool kind of familial sort of experience, and that was neat. And definitely the 13th man. Or, you know, is you know, person, ladies, is the crowd. I mean, how can you not get fueled by all that excitement that they're generating and giving you this energy? And you're like, yes, we're going to do this.
Yeah, it's that's why when I think it was 1987 was the first time that that Europe won on American soil. And that was huge. That was massive because it is really, really hard to do. I've covered a bunch of Ryder Cups, a bunch of Solheim Cups, and it's hard for the visiting team to win for the two reasons that we've talked about. One, home team gets to set up the golf course the way they want it set up. And two, you've got those crowds. Last year in Des Moines for the Solheim Cup, they had over 30,000 people there a day, and the atmosphere was just off the charts, electric, and that can't help but inspire players.
Yeah. Speaking of crowds, we've got the UL International Crown in Incheon, Korea, coming up next weekend. The LPGA team event that has the groups of South Koreans, U.S., Thai players. They're playing as teams, so it's not just two people per team. It's countries as teams up against one another. And playing in Korea, how many people do they expect to bring out?
This is going to be something for everybody. It's going to be worth watching on television if you get the chance, because you cannot believe how women golfers are treated in Korea. They are rock stars there. This is going to be off the charts exciting. And the fact that South Korea is the number one seed in this event. The International Crown is a brilliant, brilliant format. It wasn't that long ago in the early 2000s when the first Koreans and Asians and players from countries, Australians, from countries not eligible for the Solheim Cup, started to dominate women's golf. And everybody said, oh, we need to add them to the Solheim Cup team. And then in 2011, there was an awesome Solheim Cup at Killeen Castle. In the last hour, Europe won 3.5 of the last 4 points, an incredible comeback. And everybody said, okay, we got to leave the Solheim Cup alone. But we need an event to include these other countries. And they came up with the International Crown, which is great, because if you look at the President's Cup, which was created as a response to the Ryder Cup for those non-Ryder Cup nations, they create this international team, which is a phony entity. Truth be told, the Japanese and South Koreans don't want to be on the same team. They want to play against each other. They want to compete against each other. There are natural rivalries there. And to ask them to be teammates is a stretch, and maybe that's one of the reasons why the International Team and President's Cup has only won 1 out of 12 times.
Yeah.
But this format is just so exciting because you've got you playing for your country out there. It's like this mini Solheim Cup, Ryder Cup going on, instead of having 12-person teams, you've got 4-person teams.
Yeah, and lots of different countries represented at the top within the LPGA. But don't, you know, tens of thousands of people, I mean, the way they treat their LPGA or their women golfers, their stars, in Korea is phenomenal. They get thousands and thousands of people to come, more than I think the Ryder Cup will see.
And not just the fan support, but something I'd like to see happen here more is the corporate support. Corporations in Korea and in Japan, it's also true, support women golfers massively. They do much better with endorsement deals, equipment contracts, all those sorts of things that American players don't have as much opportunity to get. And I really think that women's golf is the most undervalued property in all of sports marketing. And if I was a CEO, I'd want to have somebody, you know, KPMG knows what Stacey Lewis is all about, and they signed her for that reason. But I'd want to have somebody like a Julie Inkster, you know, representing my company, you know, or virtually any player that you can pick out there. Angela Stanford, you know, they are great, not only great athletes, but great representatives of their sport.
Wonderful. You're in Phoenix on your way to one of my favorite events, the 10th annual Marilyn Smith LPGA Charity Pro-Am. I was there 1 year. I really thoroughly enjoyed just watching Marilyn. Marilyn Smith is one of the founders of the LPGA, and she, an incredible woman. She's there taking pictures in the heat, going from one team to another team, all raising money for scholarships. What are you going to do?
Well, on Sunday they have they call it their Sunday tea, and it's an auction, and they have Shirley Sporks is one of there were the 13 LPGA founders. Three are still alive, and two will be here: Marilyn Smith and Shirley Sporks. Every year, there's a player, a past player, who's an honoree. Sandra Palmer's the honoree this year. So I will MC that Sunday afternoon thing and conduct interviews with them and do a little bit of auctioneering to sell off stuff for the charity. And then on Monday, I'll play in the tournament.
Fantastic! On Monday, you're playing in the tournament. Who's on your team?
Well, you know, I don't know, but when Jane Crafter has played in the past, when she's been able to play, she's always been my partner. And I saw that she's in the field this year. I saw it, so I'm sort of thinking I might be getting her again.
You sort of think you might be?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Ron Cyrak, Golf Channel contributor, thank you so much for being on the show with me, and have a great time. Say hi to Marilyn Smith for me.
I'll do that, and thanks for having me on, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Aloha, Ron. Thank you. We're going to come back and talk with Jay Coffin. He's the editorial director for GolfChannel.com. He's in France. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Are you dreaming about a golf vacation to Ireland? Do you want to play some of the best golf courses in the world? Well, now is your chance. Danielle and the team at the Golf Club Radio Show have teamed up with Fairways and Fundays, Ireland's best golf tour operator, to offer you a chance to visit Ireland in 2019. Play some of the world's best golf courses. Enjoy spectacular scenery and exhilarating evening entertainment. And, of course, sample the odd pint of Guinness. This is a perfect tour for golfers and non-golfers alike. Contact Danielle and her team at the Golf Club Radio Show for more information. We look forward.
Some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water lines broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing.
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Ah, here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. We've got Jay Coffin, editorial director, golfchannel.com, with us from Paris, Le Golf National. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jay.
Hey there, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you in the midst of the madness, waiting for the singles pairings to come out?
Yeah, but in fact, it looks like they actually just came out.
Oh, my. And you're going to have to... What does it feel like? How does this Ryder Cup feel different than the ones that are played in the United States? It's showing different on television.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, it's a little bit of a different vibe. I think that first tee atmosphere by nature is a little bit different. And, you know, the fans are just different now. They cheer in different cheers. But you know what's similar is still just momentum swings. It doesn't matter. You could play this thing on the moon. There's going to be momentum swings, right? The 4-0 yesterday afternoon, the 3-1 this morning, you look up on the board early and you say, okay, well, this is going to go 3-1 one way or another. And then it ends up 2 hours later going 3-1 the exact opposite way. So while the golf course is different and it is a little different around here, the same thing is still the same. That these momentum swings are just like anything we ever see anywhere else in golf.
And, you know, I was wondering while I was watching, do the players feel it? I mean, they must at some point feel like they're on top and then something goes wrong, you know, like lose a hole. Then you kind of feel that shift in energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know they definitely feel it. You know, they try to play coy a little bit afterwards. Oh, I wasn't looking at the leaderboard. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. So you didn't know. You couldn't hear everything that was going on. You could not look at a leaderboard all you want and know what's going on because you can know the home crowd. You just kind of know. You feel the vibe. You feel it. You can see it. You can smell it. You can almost taste it. And Ian Poulter even told us, you know, yesterday we saw Sergio Garcia was 7-up at one point in their match yesterday afternoon. And he said not only looking at the board and seeing blue, but going up and seeing numbers as high as 5, 6, and 7 next to the blue, that made him want to run through a wall. So I know that they look, I know that they pay attention, and they're lying to you if they tell you they don't.
Run through a wall. I love it. What happened with Poulter and McIlroy today? With Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth just too strong?
I think they were too strong, but I think that Rory and Ian just kind of finally ran out of gas. You know, and it seems like the only people who didn't run out of gas were Fleetwood and Molinari, who have been absolute machines. But I think Rory, I think a lot, he didn't play so well yesterday. Yeah, he won yesterday afternoon, but he didn't play so well in the morning. And I think it took a lot out of him sort of mentally to try to get himself back into playing that good golf. And we saw him. We saw the pep in his step this morning, earlier on in the first, you know, in the opening four balls this morning. And I think they just sort of both finally together hit the wall at a time where Spieth and Thomas were kind of finding their groove. And I think that's just kind of the result that you saw right there.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I was looking at Tiger Woods, and I was watching on television when our U.S. team captain, Jim Furyk, was taking a question about someone saying, so I understand he's got a bad back. And it wasn't quite like that. I've condensed it. And it was interesting. Furyk had this grin on his face, like, seriously?
Yeah.
Where did you get that? Where did that come from?
Oh, the Tiger back thing?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, look, this is the way I see it. Anytime he's under par, nobody ever thinks he has a bad back. And anytime he's over par, everybody thinks that his back is falling apart. I think it's that simple. I'm not kidding you. I think it's that simple. And they were getting waxed out there today. He was getting waxed. Patrick Reed played awful this morning. He played awful. And I was surprised that Tiger came back. And so, but then when he did come back to play with DeChambeau, I thought, well, Tiger Woods, if his back is tender or sore, there's no way he's going to put himself back out there.
Exactly.
And he did, right? So yes. When I saw him back out there in the afternoon, I knew everything was fine. I don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, especially when Furyk said, Ask Tiger. I don't believe that's wrong. He just, you know, he came out and said that's not true. And as you said, Tiger's not going to put himself at risk. There's too much at risk. His whole life is at risk. Why would he go out and play again? The question is, of course, when he gets teamed up with Woods and DeChambeau, and we had, of course, Patrick Reed and Tiger Woods, the question that comes up for me is, does playing with Tiger Woods make you feel like you have to play so well that you get a little bit nervous about it?
That's a good point. And I kind of look at it this way. Like, and maybe this doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to me. Those two guys, Reed and DeChambeau, have absolutely, I mean, everybody out here has, but those two guys, as much as anybody, have idolized Tiger. I'm talking like borderline posters on the wall. I mean, Patrick Reed wears red and black on Sunday because he idolizes Tiger so much. DeChambeau has. And I just think that it takes some getting used to playing with and partnering with your idol, right? Like, you can play against him and have some success here or there, and, you know, when you're going against him. But when you're actually with him, I think that you sort of turn into a fanboy. I think that you're in awe. I think that you can't believe that you are playing in the Ryder Cup for your country with your absolute idol. And there has to be some sort of a negative factor. There has to be.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. That's what I was thinking, that it's not intimidating so much as, like, the little kid comes out and, you know, you start making, and you're playing with your dad. Anybody have that experience, you know? And nothing goes right, and you're like, I'm trying so hard. That's the problem, right? You're trying so hard, and you're just not flowing with it. And like you said, you can play against them, because then it's like you get to, like, try to beat them or something. Yep. You know,
and I think too, and that's why I think, you know, you can second guess till the cows come home. I also think that Spieth might have been a good partner. Now, I don't want to say that Spieth and Justin Thomas are clearly working beautifully together. They're the only thing working well together for the Americans. But I think somebody like Spieth would have worked well with Tiger, because Spieth isn't going to be in awe of Tiger, because he's been around him. Yeah, he idolized him, but he's also been around him a lot more than anybody else. And he's sort of desensitized to the fact that he's with Tiger Woods more than some of these others.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's usually at the top of the leaderboard in that vicinity. And so he's in that environment. I don't see, you know, obviously it's hard to get a spark when your team's down and you're not feeling hot, because he just won the tour championship. Did that, Tiger Woods, surprise you?
You know, it kind of did. I guess it didn't surprise me that he won there because of how well he was playing the month before. But even, you know, we go back to a couple months ago, earlier in this year, I just didn't know if he had it in him to beat the world's best on any given week.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you still just think about, like, how amazing it is. Yeah, it was a smaller field. It was only 30 players. You know, and so by nature, you have better odds to beat a field with less players. But it was the top 30 studs in the world. It was the top 30 players all year long. And he went and took it to him. And that is amazing.
Yeah. And then he said, you know, I had 3 strokes cushion, which is really pretty amazing.
Yep.
I think he was even to a degree surprised. Not that he was, you know, thinking that he couldn't do it, but to win this year, to be so good. And one of the things that I find watching the Ryder Cup, it's beautiful. The golf course is incredible. It's in beautiful shape. It's tricky. It's demanding. It requires accuracy. The greens are slower than the U.S. guys are expecting to find on greens. So all of these things are playing into this. But watching on television, after seeing the tour championship and that close with everybody running after Tiger, like, you know, it's like, I don't know, the 40s, 50s, when there were no marshals really, and they were chasing. Yeah. It was that kind of incredible enthusiasm and excitement. And I know I'm watching Ryder Cup. I'm like, well, where is all that?
Last week was absolutely magic. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was truly amazing. So, have you seen the singles pairings?
Yeah, they just came out like right as I came on with you. So, what do you want to know?
Okay, so who's leading us off?
So it looks like Justin Thomas Brooks Koepka, Webb Simpson, and Tiger Woods are the first four.
Okay, so he's leading with strength, but he's putting Tiger in a more cushioned place, isn't he?
Well, sort of, but it's also that first match is Justin Thomas versus Rory McIlroy. So Europe's doing the exact same thing. They're going Rory McIlroy, Paul Casey, Justin Rose, and John Rahm. So Tiger Woods has John Rahm in that fourth match.
Interesting. Rahm hasn't been doing that spectacularly, has he?
No, not that great. But, you know, some of these guys, though, they get back into individual play. And, you know, it's just a different animal, but they get back into their rhythm and can hit their own golf ball and hit their own shots. Sometimes it's helpful, but we'll see. Tiger's also got to be a little tired. Going 36 today, he's got to be a little tired.
Absolutely. Now, how about their closers? Who do they have?
So down the stretch, so for the U.S. is going Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, and Bryson DeChambeau over the last four. And Europe is going Molinari, Hatton, Stenson, and Norn.
Wow.
So, it looks like they're both kind of putting their horses out early and then hoping to hold on there at the end. And if it gets down to the end, you know, look at Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, Bryson DeChambeau. That's a big, big spot for some of those guys.
Oh, no kidding.
It's a big, big spot for some of the Europeans, too, if the Americans happen to make a run. You know what's going to happen. The U.S. is going to look like they're going to win four of the first five or six matches. Everybody's going to start saying, oh, my goodness, it's going to turn around. They've got a chance to do it. They're not going to win four of the first six matches, and then Europe's going to end up winning. That's what's going to happen.
You've got this nailed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not my first rodeo.
Now, there will come a... Well, I suppose right now there's quite a bit of wagering going on in the U.K. And across Europe on this...
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine. Not so much in France, actually, as much as in, like, England, Scotland, and Ireland. So I haven't seen any betting shops around here. I know I plan on, now that these singles pairings came out, I know the odds will come out here pretty shortly, so to be able to jump on and see what those say.
Make some phone calls. Click some clicks.
Sure. Yep.
I know you're a busy man, Jay Coffin. I'm so thrilled that you took the time to check in early, no less. Jay Coffin is the editorial director of GolfChannel.com. Real pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. And Bob Bupka, you know, he was actually holding the Ryder Cup. How did he do that? We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
thanks largely to the inspired play, I'm at PGA.com, of Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari, the United States will have to match the largest final day comeback in Ryder Cup history, you heard that earlier on the show, to win the 42nd Ryder Cup. The Europeans lead 10-6, headed to Sunday singles. Fleetwood and Molinari are the first European pairing to go 4-0 in the history of the Ryder Cup. We're going to bring in someone who's been playing at the Ryder Cup, working at the Ryder Cup, reporting for Talk Sport at the Ryder Cup. It's Bob Bupka, host of the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by... yes, a wonderful golf club and the voice of golf on Talk Sport. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Well, thank you for having me again, Danielle. And I don't want to lead off by saying that the United States team is in trouble. But
yes, the United States team is in trouble. Have I lost Bob?
Instructions do not allow any of these.
Okay, we're losing you occasionally, Bob, so you're coming in and out. Are you there? Okay, I've lost you again. The bottom line is that Rory McIlroy is taking on Justin Thomas. Paul Casey goes up against Brooks Koepka. Justin Rose against Webb Simpson. John Rahm is taking on Tiger Woods. Tommy Fleetwood takes on Tony Finau, and Ian Poulter versus Dustin Johnson. So that's what we've got happening tomorrow, and this is for the cup. We need to have 14 points to keep it. They need to have 14 and a half points to take it back. And bringing the cup back to Europe, of course, is the one thing they want. I love the atmosphere, the crowds, the fun they're having, the outfits they're wearing. It's so much fun at Ryder Cup right now. Bob Bupka is there. Hey, Bob, how's it been with all those people?
Well, the crowds have been unbelievable. But as I was trying to tell you before, we had a communication mishap. The Eiffel Tower has received the pictures of every American team member and vice captains with instructions. Do not allow any of these people to go up the Eiffel Tower for fear that they may want to jump off. So that precaution has been taken care of.
Okay, Bob, you always come up with these things. And as I was teasing earlier, I have a picture of Bob Bupka holding the Ryder Cup trophy next to a Ryder Cup emblem. And how did you get your hands on that trophy?
Well, with a great deal of difficulty, but I said that, listen, I have a golf radio host that operates out of Hawaii, and if she could see a picture of me holding the Ryder Cup, she'd probably have me on her show a little more often. So under those conditions, they agreed to let me take that photograph. But here's something of note. I don't know if you've mentioned it or anybody has mentioned it to you to this juncture. The captain's picks. Each captain had four picks. Thomas Bjorn's four picks have contributed 6 points. Yeah, 6 points to the European side. Jim Furyk's picks, which include Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, have contributed 0 points.
Absolutely correct. And what would they have, I mean, what would everybody have said if he had not picked Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods?
I know.
It's a quandary, you know? And the thing about Tiger Woods, we were talking with Jay Coffin earlier from golfchannel.com. You know, it's rugged when you're playing with your idol. How do you pair up Tiger with somebody who's going to be really comfortable? Maybe Tiger and Phil should have played together.
Well, you know, you laugh. The absolute worst pairing, believe me when I tell you this, and I said it the minute I saw it come out, pairing Tiger Woods with Patrick Reed, what that did was take away the antics of Patrick Reed. He's a rah-rah guy. He's a cheerleader. He likes to, you know, make gestures. But I said, he's not going to do that. in the presence of Tiger Woods, and it would be disrespectful. Patrick Reed tried to play as a normal member of the Ryder Cup team without any gestures, and it deflated him, and as a result, they got no points out of that. Phil Mickelson, I feel bad for. He just flat out played badly, so it didn't happen. And let's see, he is playing, so Phil's reward is he gets to play Molinari tomorrow. So that's not much of a present. Molinari looking to go 5 for 5. Tommy Fleetwood looking to go 5 for 5. Fleetwood going against Finau tomorrow. So I'm not saying it's impossible. It's been done before. A team has come back from 4 points. Obviously, in 1999, the U.S. squad at Brookline rallied to win that. Then the European side, Danielle, as you well know, when it was at Medina, they came from 4 points back. But now we haven't won in 25 years here on foreign soil. And now to be 4 points down going into the Sunday singles is really a big ask for this U.S. team.
Absolutely. No doubt. Now, my question, let's go traveling. What was your first impression when you got to France, just the feeling of it? Did you want to go strolling through the Champs-Élysées? Did you want to go have something special to eat? Did you find a great restaurant? Where are you staying? Oh, I thought we were going to get some inside from Bob Bupka on the best places to go. But again, he's calling in from Paris, France. And sometimes we just have these technical difficulties because that's the way it is. All right. We're going to stand by. We're going to bring in Claude Brousseau because Claude Brousseau is there in France as a fan. He is on the Ryder Cup course. He's at Le Golf National, and he's, as a fan, walking through. And I thought, God, Claude, you could give us such insight in what's it like being on the property with the crowds, how it feels, the feeling, the shifts in the moods and what have you, and hearing some of the songs that I just heard briefly on television. So we're going to come right back and talk with Claude Brousseau after we take a break and thank the people who make this show possible.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Are you dreaming about a golf vacation to Ireland? Do you want to play some of the best golf courses in the world? Well, now is your chance. Danielle and the team at the Golf Club Radio Show have teamed up with Fairways and Fundays, Ireland's best golf tour operator, to offer you a chance to visit Ireland in 2019. Play some of the world's best golf courses. Enjoy spectacular scenery and exhilarating evening entertainment. And, of course, sample the odd pint of Guinness. This is a perfect tour for golfers and non-golfers alike. Contact Danielle and her team at the Golf Club Radio Show for more information. We look forward to seeing you in the Emerald Isle in 2019.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837, your expert.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Yeah, so Bob Bupko is trying to get back in from Paris, France, and talk to us a little bit about what it's like to be in Paris and going to different places. And he always finds the most interesting things. And his hotels usually insight into, they don't stay at five-star hotels. They stay at hotels that we could be in, you know, you and I, we could afford to go to and have space. Space is always a premium. I've stayed in one hotel in London. I got into it and was like, okay, my suitcase is there and I can hardly get now to the bathroom because it was an older hotel and they were made smaller. They weren't as large as we have the accommodations today. So it's always good to get some inside from people who are staying. And I know Claude Brousseau is going to be able to give that to us. But I just wanted to mention a couple of things that are happening in our world here in Hawaii and tell you a little bit about our trip to Ireland. First off, the Fall Invitational Golf Tournament that benefits the North Shore Junior Golf Association, which is the Aloha State Junior Golfers. And we have lessons, junior golfer lessons, every Sunday at Bayview on the driving range. Just come in, drop in, bring your child, 5, 4, 7, 12, doesn't matter, 15. You know, it's anybody who wants to learn the game, come over and say hi. I want to join your little group here, and it's wonderful. We have a really good time. This Fall Invitational Golf Tournament is a two-person scramble, and they're raising money for the to subsidize the Aloha State Junior Golfers because it's very inexpensive. It's about $7.50 an hour. So it's a group lesson, of course, but that's all that you'll pay for. And it's over a five-week period. Our last lesson of this period is going to be on Sunday. And then we'll have a break for a week, and then we'll start up again the following Sunday. It's 10 o'clock in the morning at Bayview. But for the Fall Invitational Golf Tournament, October 5th is the date. It's at Barbers Point Golf Course. It's a two-person scramble, no handicaps. Field is limited to 24 teams, 48 players. Tee off is at noon at Barbers Point. $100 per player. You can buy mulligans, $20. And you can sponsor a hole, too, $100. And if you don't golf, consider being a hole sponsor. Or just donate some prizes, team prizes. And you can get in touch with Ken Zitz, AlohaStateJuniorGolfers.org. All right. And for our trip to Ireland, the journey includes golf, luxury transport, five-star hotels, including the K-Club, sightseeing, evening meals, luxury welcome gifts, a competition pack, and a whole lot more. And this is for golfers and non-golfers, because what Fairways and Fun Days does is they, depending on who's going, they have the golfers, and then they take care of the sightseers or the shoppers or whoever is going with you as a golfer. You can bring, you know, your friend. And there are tours of the city. There are places they'll take you to where the best shopping is, all of those things that are going on in your life. So this is something to check out. And our website is radiogolfclub.com. On the front page is a banner, and you can see the banner. Just click on that banner, and you'll be able to find out more, get more information. You'll see pictures of where we're going. Whole lot of fun. It's in September of 2019, so just a year away. So we got to make our plans for this magnificent trip, including the K-Club, which was, of course, the host resort of the 2006 Ryder Cup, where Claude Brousseau is not at the K-Club. He's at Le Golf National in Paris, France, where our 2018 Ryder Cup is being competed. Claude Brousseau, he is the owner of Maui School of Golf, and that's at Kahili, the Kahili course on Maui. He's director of golf there. He's a Golf Channel lead coach, and he's in the clubhouse with us. Hi, Claude.
Aloha, Danielle.
What a couple of days you've had roaming Le Golf National, the Albatross course, and being a part of this Ryder Cup experience. What was your first impression when you walked through the gates?
Oh, I'm telling you, Danielle, the first impression is how many people can you be at one place at one time? It's like you have a half of Maui getting at the same spot. So that was the first impression. And then it's so well organized. I mean, take it from, you know, the shuttle to bring us to the course. And then when you go through the safety area, and then I just, right from there, I walked to the first hole. It is my first experience in the Ryder's Cup. It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, I mean, I bet. Just the numbers of people and the colors and the beauty of the golf course with all these people walking along.
Correct. You got people dressed, to the country they come from. Of course, some with Europe, and they're really proud of the European team has played in the last 2 days. American people with American flag. So it makes you, you know, you can see what it's so great about it is to see so many people passionate about golf and be so proud to represent their country and be part of an event that is bigger than themselves. And, you know, it's history, but the noise, oh man, on hole number one, it's really, it takes you, you know, from the guts, and you get goosebumps and you're excited. And the good thing about the Golf National course as well is really, like you saw it on TV, I'm sure it's kind of a stadium type of with berms that can be up to 30 feet high. So you can be on the top of it, and you, even if there is four, five, sometimes six rows of people, you can still see the player down there.
Wow, that's cool. So those are those little hillocks, you mean? So that you like they're, and it's, they're all, when you talk about a stadium, each hole is almost a little stadium because you can stand above the action and look down. And as you said, each layer of people, it's like standing, I'm standing closest, but I'm not blocking the person who's right behind me because they're standing a little bit higher. How tall is the first tee stadium they built? Is that three stories, four stories?
Oh, no, I think that first tee must be, the stadium there must be 20, it's the tallest ever they built for the Ryder's Cup, but that thing is at least, I will say, a six-story building.
Wow, that is, it's tremendous. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's tremendous. Mm-hmm. I saw a drone photo of it, you know, one of those pictures that are taken from a drone, and it's just an incredible. Did you go up on that first tee?
I didn't go on that one, but I saw it from the bottom, and I can tell you it's impressive.
Yeah.
When you see all those people, and what was so funny at the same time, every time that I never seen that before. And any course and tournament, of course. So when the players will take his practice swing, and the crowd will just make noise to kind of get the going, you know, forward with the swing. You could see the reaction because they have so many big screen on the course as well everywhere. So let's say like this morning when the crowd was not really in sync with the read, and then you could see his face saying, okay, something is wrong here in the tempo of it. That was interesting.
So as the player was swinging their club, the crowd was making noises like an airplane noise of the swing going down and up and down and up. And so if the crowd does that and it's not in the same tempo as you're about to swing, that would definitely throw me off.
Yes,
a lot of people were saying, what was up with Patrick Reed? Well, that may have been one of the things. Usually he's able to, you know, give back as good as he gets. And he hasn't had any reservations about telling the crowd, you know, shh, as he did once. And Bob Bupka was on the show a while ago. He made a very astute comment that with pairing Patrick Reed with Tiger Woods, Patrick Reed was on his best behavior. He didn't want to do anything clownish in front of his idol, Tiger Woods. So he didn't do any of the antics that we've often seen him be as Captain America, you know, doing all the Patrick Reed kind of things, which may have thrown him off, you know, not being able to be the guy who gives everybody as much as he's getting from them. And I thought that was a very good insight. I want to ask you, I'm going to take care of the legal ID at the top of the hour here. So I want to ask you, what kind of food are they serving? What kind of food can you pick up there? What's everybody eating and drinking? We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. What's the Masters, yeah. You get your egg salad sandwich, which I thought was better than the other one, the pimento cheese sandwich. I enjoyed the egg salad sandwich much better than the pimento cheese. What can we eat when we go to Paris?
When you go in Paris, they had a restaurant area where they could have something that's not necessarily like really Paris type of, but you had, you had your barbecue. I think they wanted to make sure that they cater to everybody because they had people from all different country, well organized. And I was invited in a place where the food is, you could have, it's Le Nôtre, that's a traiteur in France. So the food is really good. But for everybody, you can have, like I said, you can have sandwiches, you could have barbecue, pizza, the beer. That was interesting too. You see people going, like when they delivered some food to the house, so people were going through the crowd with a little hot pack on their back and going around making sure that everybody eats well. But in Paris,
Wait a second. You could have somebody do like a pizza delivery while you're there on the golf course. Yeah.
But they were part of the concession.
Yeah.
But yes, they will go around and then they have a big square backpack and they will say, okay, here it's pizza. The other one was other type of food. Of course, you had people going around like this selling beer, but the atmosphere of the crowd was very friendly. People were talking with each other and I think really respectful of the players. And it was interesting to see how calm the players were also, because some of the tee boxes, the crowd can be really, really close to you with the course's design.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, they're like right next to you. And that's what's mm-hmm. so cool about this. You're very close to the action. You're not missing anything. So that I like the way it was designed that way. Where are you staying? Are you staying in a hotel?
No, I'm at the course where I created the first short game golf school in France. So what I did the back and forth. It's not that far. It's about I would say like 90 kilometers, that may be like 80 miles, 60 miles, 65 miles, because it takes just an hour from the place where I set the course where I work normally to go to Paris, and it's easy to spend an hour in Paris in traffic. So I decided to stay at home and do the driving.
Yeah, I was looking at where one would stay to go and watch something like the Ryder Cup. Do you think the Le Golf National will be a location for a Ryder Cup in the future?
Oh, yes, I think so. Absolutely. Because, not only like this time they have the Ryder Cup, but in 2024, because the Olympics are in Paris, so the Golf National will be the site for the Olympics golf competition.
That will be the site of the Olympics in what year?
In the Golf National in 2024.
See, so there's a good reason for us all to make preparations to go to Paris. It looks so beautiful. I just would love to be sitting there.
Oh, yes. The course is in great shape. The players like it. I don't know if you could have the chance to watch it on TV, but I will tell you there is a premium to drive it in the fairway, and you better to club down. I will say if you have just take for your hybrid club, but because the rough is extremely tough, and what happened because it's such a stadium type of course, when you're off the fairway, you won't have an even lie for sure. So it make it even tougher because you're in the rough, and then the ball will be either way above your feet or way below your feet. You don't have a flat lie outside of the fairway on that course.
Yeah, it's so the Golf Nacional designed to let the spectators to be very close to the players on the tee box. It's very cool, and the weather is absolutely spectacular.
Oh yes,
is that but normal for September?
For somebody who lives in Hawaii, this morning when we got there was about 48 degrees, and then you add the wind. So I saw a lot of people with. Bonnet, you know, like on the head, and it was cold this morning, but it warmed up. The weather cannot be any better for September, meaning no rain, blue skies, sunny, very fantastic. So, and the people out there may make it, you know, warmer because they enjoy it so much. That's the other thing. Everybody is upbeat. And it's if you have the opportunity to experience the Ryder's Cup in your life, put that on your bucket list for sure. The next one in Europe will be in Italy. That's a nice place to be as well.
Yes. What was the you wrote me a note? What was the radio broadcast? Econocom from Sky Sport was.
Yes.
What was that?
Yes. So that was another really good thing. Because you could rent a little transmitter, and then you have it either in French or in English, and then you had like the broadcasting from Sky Sport, so you can hear, let's say, Butch Harmon was on that with the other commentators. Uh-huh. So when you walk around, you know exactly what's going on everywhere.
Oh, that's nice.
That was a big plus.
That is a big plus. So you've got, like, the broadcast. Watching television, you get to go from place to place to place. When you're on the golf course, mm-hmm. while an event is happening, let's say at the Masters, you're walking around. Mm-hmm. You don't really know what's happening on the 8th hole because you're on the 14th, and you don't want to stay in one place. You want to see the whole thing, so you're always on the move, catching this, catching that. But then to have the broadcast, then you're keeping up with the tournament while you're exploring on your own and catching different things. That'd be fun. That would be great.
Oh, yes. That's. I think every tournament should have that, especially when it's, you know, with so many people at one spot at the time. Like you just said, you were missing too much what's going on, but you just plug that, you know, like an earplug, and then you can listen what's going on. One advice I will give also your listener, if they go, it's, let's say, I think the best thing to do is you decide, okay, I want to go number one. So you see everybody teeing up, and then I suggest you walk maybe four holes in front of the crowd, and then you go, let's say, sit at a good spot on number five or six, and then you wait that everybody goes, and then you try to stay in front. Because if you attempt to just walk with a foursome, there is too many people.
Yeah.
It's difficult to keep the beat.
Absolutely. You're going to get swamped, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to France, when you go back home, what do you have for, what do you eat? What's your favorite food? What restaurant do you go to?
Okay, so I went into that great restaurant just in Le Marais. That's a section of Paris. It's called, the restaurant was Le Colimaçon. Colimaçon, that's a French word for, you know, like a snail almost. And then there, so here's what I had. I had some foie gras with mushroom. And then after that, they have kind of a rabbit, but it's really well prepared and well,
yes, yes,
very tasty. So when I'm in France, I try to eat stuff that you know, we don't have necessarily in Hawaii. But I go all the way for the French food. I mean, it's out of this world.
Yeah, well, you're in France. You should do what the French do, right?
Yes. Like today. Today they had that special salmon mousse with some asparagus, and after that, for you have to you really be careful, Dania, because if you're here too long, when you go back home and you step on the scale in the morning, you say, "Whoop! I've been in France a little bit too long here."
It's time. When are you coming back to Hawaii?
I'm taking the plane tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow
morning. So I'll be sleeping in my bed tomorrow night on Maui.
So Claude Brousseau is director of golf. He's the owner of the Maui School of Golf. He's the lead coach, Golf Academy. And so you should go and see him at the Kahili course. That's where he is. You can take a lesson, and he'll tell you exactly what he saw at the Ryder Cup in Paris, and some of the shots that he saw played while watching the guys playing. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Dania. It's always a pleasure
to be on. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And for bringing us to Paris. Nice.
Okay. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bonsoir. We're going to come back. Karen Krause, New York Times, is standing by. Can't wait to talk with Karen, author. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, "Call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
A question. What is 6 times larger than your front door? What can open and close with the touch of a button or the click of your smartphone? What do your neighbors notice every time they pass your home? And what is the one home improvement that offers the largest return on investment? What gives you thousands of choices yet can be installed in a single day? You're right. It's your new Rainer garage door. Beautify your home with Rainer at 676-3667. That's 676-3667.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837. Your experts on call.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin. Wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And Karen Krause is golf writer, the New York Times author, Norwich, one tiny Vermont town's secret. A small Vermont town is raising Olympians who are happy, healthy, and productive people and performers. And she went into that town of Norwich and wrote a beautiful book about how to raise children who are athletes and all well-rounded people at the same time, which I thought was very interesting. Welcome into the clubhouse, Karen.
Thank you. The timing was perfect because we had Jim Furyk come in, so I can at least tell you what he's thinking.
What he's thinking. Awesome. But what I was reading your article in the New York Times about Rory McIlroy not wanting to be defined just by his game. You know, being a full, well-rounded person, that was very nicely done. Thank you.
Thank you. Like wanting to be a person in the world and not just a performer on the world stage. So it kind of dovetails with the whole Norwich theme.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
Yes, exactly. So, boy, what a day. A couple of days. And who saw this imbalance? This 10-6, this is incredible. Did you expect it?
I still think it's going to end up close. So I will preface my remarks with that caveat. But if you look at this course, it's a very narrow, tight course. Driving accuracy matters greatly. And if you look at the driving accuracy statistics, this result makes total sense. You have 6 of the 12 Europeans are among the top 82 in driving accuracy. 6 of the 12 Americans are in the bottom 50. So, you know, including Phil, second to last at 192, Patrick Reed, 182. So when you look at it through that lens, it makes a little more sense. But still, I guess I didn't expect Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari to be Tiger Slayers like they were. But it you know, there's still a full day tomorrow. And if we learned anything from Medina in 2012, no 10-6 lead is safe.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's interesting. Okay, I've got the singles pairings up. And you've listened to Jim Furyk, and you can tell us what he's thinking. So he's leading with Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas.
Right. He wanted to put Thomas out there first because he feels as if Justin and Jordan have been the two sparks that the Americans have had. They won their match in the morning yesterday. They also stop the bleeding or the hemorrhaging this morning by winning the only four ball match. So I think that's his thinking, is that those guys will be the ones to lead everyone else if there is a great comeback to be made.
Yeah, and Justin was the most demonstrative. I mean, he was out there showing actually the expressions you expect to see at a Ryder Cup. You know, the fist pumps, the yes, we're doing it, and trying to fire up Jordan Spieth. Jordan was kind of following Justin. That was great. So then we've got Paul Casey, the shorter straight hitter,
who has made a lot of birdies, a lot of birdies the last 2 days with his partners. So, you know, Paul's a really streaky player. When he's on, he can go really low, as he's shown at many tour events. So I think even though it looks like a study in opposites between Brooks with his length and power and Casey, who is a more of an artistic player, I think that should be a really good match. And then just so on down the line, on and on it goes.
Yes, Brooks Koepka is a fellow who played on the European Tour. So this golf course isn't that unfamiliar to him.
And he's used to playing in, you know, adverse circumstances and situations. So, and he's pretty steely-eyed. So I expect that to be a terrific match. And Brooks isn't going to be intimidated, that's for sure.
No. the next on the list is Justin Rose and Webb Simpson.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Bubba and Webb sat this morning and then played this afternoon and played beautifully together.
Yes.
Now, Webb has been putting masterfully this whole season, and he showed that again today. If he can putt that way in that match against Justin, it could be interesting. You would have to give the nod in that pairing to Justin, only because he was, until this week, the world number one. So for that reason only, I would give him the nod. But also remember, Webb Simpson ran away with the Players' Championship, a course that has been described as very similar in what it requires of players to this one.
Interesting. Yes. John Rahm and Tiger Woods. Interesting.
Yeah, that, you know, fire and ice is how I would describe that.
Yes.
And I think Tiger at this point is just happy to have escaped Molinari and Fleetwood, because he faced that duo in all three of his team matches, and they were just
buzzsaws.
They were so in sync, and yeah, they were, well, they were literally unbeatable. They went 4-0, so.
Yeah. I was listening to the news conference. I loved your question to Jim Furyk the other day when somebody also said, I understand Tiger Woods has a bad back. And Jim Furyk was like, huh? Where did you get that? But Tiger does seem a little tired.
I think he's tired, and I think that's a circumstance born of playing 5 of the last 6 weeks on 2 continents, 5 cities. Here's a guy, he's playing with a fused back. A year ago at this time was not even taking full swings with his irons and woods. So if you look at it in that perspective, he didn't even know if he would get through the West Coast swing, and here he is finishing a very his biggest season to date. He's played, I think I looked it up, he played, had more starts this year than in the last 3 combined. So it takes its toll, and emotionally he had to have a letdown. That was such an emotional win in Atlanta on Sunday. That's why I think he needed, I don't know, I'm not sure Patrick was the right partner for him, only because it's almost like they were, I don't quite remember my chemistry, but they were like 2 atoms whose charges negate each other, you know,
yes.
and almost neutralize
yes.
each other, because they both have that sort of intensity. And I think instead of feeding off each other, it kind of just negated their strength.
Yeah.
So I think he, as you saw, he played better with Bryson.
He had some birdie putts, you know?
Yeah. But again, Tommy and Francesco were just playing out of their minds. So, and Francesco has finished 2nd at the French Open on this course numerous times, and Tommy is a former winner. He won last year here, so perhaps we shouldn't have been so surprised to see them playing so well here.
I need to ask you a question. I'm going to preface it by, during a long time ago, there was something called the UBS Cup, and I watched as Gary Player and Arnold Palmer chose how they were going to bring out the singles match. And they were sitting across the table from one another and revealing their choices.
That's much like the President's Cup,
yes.
where that is done, but it's a blind draw here.
Okay. It was just so exciting to see it. It was like,
yeah,
it was very interesting theater, and watching their faces, you know, as they, well, I'm going to play this card. This is my card here.
Yeah, in the President's Cup, they do that. But that's what is so crazy about the fact that Tiger faced Fleetwood and Molinari 3 times. I mean, the odds are against that when you have these supposed blind draws. But
that's
there
true.
You go.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that. So our next after Rahm and Woods is Fleetwood and Finau. Some people would say, you know, a blind draw. That really is tough for Finau to take Fleetwood.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, it was funny. Molinari, who said, you know, I'm sad that we're not going to be playing together tomorrow, speaking of Tommy, but I think that match could surprise some people. Tony's played, he's acquitted himself well this week, and he can play freely. There's no pressure on Tony in that match. It's all on Tommy because of the form he showed the first 2 days. So Tony sank some big putts today. While playing with Brooks, I could see that being an interesting match.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we always consider Tony to be one of our guys because he lived in Hawaii. Summers in Hawaii.
His wife is from Hawaii.
Right.
So
exactly.
Elena is, yeah.
Right. So they're, you know, he's our guy. I had to get to our guy before.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you what your thoughts before we close. I didn't want to just run out of time as we go through all these names about this Ryder Cup. about this being the first one in France. How does it feel?
Well, it definitely feels like I've been to, I was at Glen Eagles, and it feels a lot like that, only a little more negative. And I don't know whether it's because the French don't really understand that it's not considered de rigueur in this sport to lustily cheer opponents' water balls and shots that go into the bunker. But there's been a lot more negative cheering than I can remember. And I don't think the Europeans can ever, from this point forward, complain about the boorishness of American fans after some of the things I've heard out here, including most of the people following Tiger were fawning. You know, they were fans of his. But I heard a few people calling him expletives.
Oh.
Which I've never heard in the States. So it's hard to figure whether that is unique to France or whether it's just a sign of the times that we live in increasingly discourteous times and people maybe don't have the best vision or impression of the United States at the moment. So we've become world villains. Whatever it is, there's been a lot more negativity than I would have anticipated.
Well, I'm glad you told me that, because as I've been watching, I've felt a sense of something that I don't quite recognize. You know, it's not outright cold, or it's more, I don't know, more reserved in a way. I don't see them having as much fun until they go to the UK kids who are dressed in outfits. And we hear we hear people singing songs like The Moon Hits the Sky Like a Big Pizza Pie, That's Amore, when they were seeing Molinari, right? So that was, to me, that was sweet and fun. And I'm sorry to hear that we've digressed or gone down to that level. That's a... It's good to hear your voice, Karen. You're not on the show often enough.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, Danielle.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for checking in with us on this wonderful day. Have a fabulous... We'll be thinking about you when we're watching the finals tomorrow. Ryder Cup, Le Golf National in Paris, France. Aloha, Karen.
Wonderful. Enjoy it. Bye-bye.
We're going to thank the people who make this show possible. Wonderful people who are always supporting us, and can't thank you enough. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business, your home. And, you know, your home, you can really do spruce it up and add some for residential, commercial fences and gates. Just give them a call. Rainer Doors, 676-3667. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse. Whether it's a new build, and you know all the stuff that goes into putting up a new structure, or a renovation, you want to get down into the ground and get those old pipes out and do it without damaging the other portions of your home. Yes, you can do it. And that's it. You got to go to Creative Plumbing, though, because it's got to be done right. And Creative Plumbing will do that for you. So thank you to Rainer Doors, Futura Stone, and Creative Plumbing. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. If you'd like to listen to any portions of the show, in fact, you can listen to years of the show. It's all in an archive or a library at RadioGolfClub.com. And if you go there, you can see the podcasts of this week's show and others. And you can also go and click on the link and find out more about our trip to Ireland, put together by Fairways and Fundays, award-winning travel coordinators. And they're doing all the work for us. So have a great day. Remember, put the sunscreen on when you're out on the course. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.